Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa Gospel According to Mark. Isinulat po ito ni John Mark through the lenses ni Peter. Hindi ho si Peter ang nagsulat, kung hindi siya po ang nag-share ng mga experiences, mga preachings, and from there, isinulat po ito, iniliham ni John Mark. Pagkatapos po ang insidente ng fig tree at ang lessons na itinuro ni Jesus pabalik, last week na inaral natin, bumalik sila kinabukasan. No? Bumalik sila and his disciples sa Jerusalem and enter a temple area muli. So, itong part po ng ating pag-aaral is yung po ng insidente sa Gentile court. Wednesday na po ito, itong passage natin ito, Wednesday na po ito ng Passion Week. So this means, dalawang araw na lang po ay ipapako na sa cross si Jesus. So this is really crucial. Ang tanong is, kung ito na yung last day niya sa temple, ano kaya yung conversation ang mangyayari sa loob ng temple na ito? Yung po yung titignan natin ngayong gabi na ito. Sa confrontation, magkakaroon po ng confrontation ang mangyayari. So sa confrontation po na ito, makikita natin ngayong gabi sa passage na ang binasa ni Orpha kanina, that man's rejection of Jesus' authority and authenticity is not just a result of lack of hard evidences, but of hard hearts. Man's rejection of Jesus' authority and authenticity is not a result of lack of hard evidences, but of hard hearts. 2 points sa ating ngayong gabi. Number one, authority questioned. Verses chapter 11, verse 27 to 33. And number two, authority rejected. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Number 1, authority question. Basahin po natin ang verses 27. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or what gave you this authority to do them?" Last week, iniwan po natin si Jesus at ang kanyang mga disciples pauwi, kagaya ng nabanggit natin, papuntang Bethany, at nahinto po sila sa natuyong puno o yung fig tree, and from there, nagkaroon po siya ng lessons about prayer and faith and forgiveness. Kinaumagahan, bumalik po sila muli sa Jerusalem, same place, banda sa Gentile court ng temple. At dito, pagpasok po nila ay sinalubong sila ng mga religious authority noong time nila. Elders. Now note, hindi po ito yung welcoming team na kung saan sasalubungin si Jesus at daan-daan i-usher papasok po ng temple. Hindi po. This is a hard confrontation. Hindi ito magaang na kwentuhan, hindi ito welcome. This is a itong grupo na ito ay nagbubuo ng judicial court na ang tinatawag ay Council of the Sanhedrin. Kung meron otoridad patungkol sa pagturo, pag-apply, at pag-enforce ng salita ng Diyos, ito po yung grupo na ito. Sila ang otoridad. Kaya makita mo ngayon, sila ay nagtatanong ng otoridad kasi sila ang otoridad noong time na yon. So verse 28, kin-question nila ang otoridad ni Jesus Christ. Na bakit niya nagagawa ang mga ito? Or sa verse 28, yung words na these things, why are you, who gave you the authority to do these things? Ano yung these things na ito? Ito po ay pertaining sa ginawa ni Jesus noong Tuesday, no? O kahapon sa timetable nila, na nag-cleanse siya ng temple at the same time nangaral ng gospel. As a matter of fact, nabanggit po yun sa Luke chapter 20 na kung saan he clearly preached the gospel. So, how dare you? Yun ang sinabi niya. Hindi po ito, uy, kamusta? Alam mo, hindi maganda yung ginawa mo last time eh. Baka pwede, huwag mo na ulitin yun kasi hindi maganda yun sa kalakaran dito. Hindi po yun yung approach na confrontation. It was a strong confrontation. Kung bibigyan natin ng tone, says, how dare you? How dare you na pupunta-punta ka dito at magsisimula ka ng gulo? Kung ano-ano pinagtututuro mo. Sino nagbigay sa'yo ng otoridad na gawin ng mga ito? So, ganun yung strong ng tone. Okay? Isa ka lang karpintero. Hindi ka nakapag-aral sa mga paaralan na re-recommenda namin. Walang nag-mentor sa'yo sa mga kinikilala namin mga mangangaral dito. Wala ka namang kinuang board exam. Sino nagbigay sa iyo ng otoridad? Clearly, hindi kami. Kasi kung kami man, hindi ka namin na-aprobehan. So, in some ways, parang ganun yung strong confrontation na nangyayari dito. They were questioning Jesus' credentials. Ano ba credential mo? By intentionally questioning His authority in broad daylight. In front of many people, they were trying to publicly discredit Him. Diba? Pagpasok nila, maraming tao, maraming sumusunod kay Jesus, at biglang, sino nagbigay ng otoridad, ha? Sino nagbigay ng otoridad kahapon yung pinagagawa mo kahapon? And from there, ano nangyayari ron sa mga tao, diba? Maraming sumusunod kay Jesus, eh. At paano ito sinagot ni Jesus nung kinonpronta siya? Tingnan natin sa verse 29. Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question, answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 30. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me. Jesus answered their question by asking them another question at nakabase ang sagot ng Pharisee sa sagot ni Jesus sa kanila. Which is kind of clever, pero hindi po ito uncommon. Ito po ay common sa rabbinic technique ng pagdidebate, no? So ang tanong niya ay patungkol kay John the Baptist. Yun po ang tanong niya. Tinanong niya na kung ang ministry at authority ba ni John the Baptist ay galing ba ito sa Panginoon? O ito ba'y galing sa tao? Binigyan ba ng authority ng Panginoon o authority ito ng tao? Now, some would think, nako, mukhang naipit si Jesus dito ah. Parang ang hirap ng tanong na yan. Ano? Kasi parang nabigla siya nun, dilang daming tao, tapos yun ang tanong. Tapos bakit ganun ang sagot ni Jesus Christ? No? Parang ang dating ng ano eh, iniiba niya yung usapan. No? Parang nagsustol si Jesus o baka naman hindi niya alam ang isasagot niya. No, hindi po ito ang sitwasyon. Hindi po ito yung kapag kinumpronta ng misis ang kanyang asawa sa isa kanyang nagawang mali at pinapapaliwanag kung bakit niya ginawa yon, hindi po yung tipong sasabihin ng misteres, actually, parang gumaganda ka ngayon ah. Alas ka ba sa parlor? And from there, na doon napunta na yung usapan. Parang nabola na niya. Hindi po ito yung type of sagot ni Jesus Christ na kung saan naghahanap siya ng way o iniiba niya yung usapan. Hindi po ito yon. Actually, very appropriate po yung tanong ni Jesus sa kanila. Kasi itong tanong na to, dahil si John the Baptist mismo talks about Jesus and attests that his authority and yung ministry ni Jesus ay galing sa Diyos. Si John the Baptist mismo nagtuturo nun. Ako magka-cross-reference ako sa John chapter 1, verses 29 hanggang 34. Allow me to read this. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Ito yung sinabi niya nung nakita niya si Jesus tumatawid, nung naglalakad. Verse 30, He is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Yun ang testimony ni John the Baptist sa lahat ng tao. So this is an appropriate question. So it was a good question to ask the religious leaders. At paano sila nag-respond dito? How did they respond to that? Well, tignan natin verse 31 hanggang 32. And they discussed it among themselves, saying to one another, and saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But shall we say from man? They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. Medyo sila lang naipit ho dito sa question ni Jesus, no? Remember, ang tanungan at ang debate na nagaganap sa oras na ito is in broad daylight. Nandun ang mga disciples si Jesus Christ, lahat ng mga pilgrims na galing sa iba't ibang lugar, lahat nag-uuwian papuntang Jerusalem para sa feast na gaganapin in a few days ng Passover. At syempre, kung nasaan si Jesus, nandun po yung mga tao. So this is really a confrontation that somehow it's starting to make a scene. Di ba? Naranasan niyo naman 'yan, di ba? Parang biglang nagkaroon ng komprontahan sa public, biglang yung mga tao nahihinto nang ganoon, biglang nakikinig. Marami nang usi sa paligid niyo, ano? Nakikinig ko, ano ba nang pangyayari rito? Malamang napag-uusapan na kasi si Jesus sa ginawa niya kahapon. Di ba? Malaking bagay yung ginawa niya kahapon. Naging viral 'yun, ika nga, sa mga usap-usapan ng dinner tables ng gabing 'yon. Alam mo ba yung ginawa ni Jesus? Sinong Jesus? Yung nagpagaling, ay, oh, siya, nandito siya, oh, nandito, ito yung ginawa niya. And from there, namataan si Jesus. At sa mga hindi nakapunta kahapon, nakita si Jesus, ito, kumprontahan, ano kaya sasabihin dito? Ano kaya ang sagot? So at this point, kilalang kilala talaga si Jesus noong time na to. And then he talks about John the Baptist, the prophet na kung saan yung mga Jews, they love. Gustong-gusto nila si John the Baptist. Pinasok na si John the Baptist sa usapan ngayon. So medyo naging delikado ang lagay ng mga Pharisees noong time na yon. So, kasi si paniwala ng mga tao noong time na yon, ng mga Jews, na si John the Baptist ay prophet na galing sa Diyos. Kaya hindi agad nakasagot marahil ang mga religious leaders. So nagkaroon sila siguro ng momentary break. Okay, magandang tanong yan. Yeah, balikan ka namin, ha? Imagine nag-huddle sila, no? Ang gagawin natin, ang sasabihin natin dito. Yung conversation na gano'n. Kung aaminin natin ang otoridad at ministry ni John the Baptist ay galing sa Panginoon, malamang ibabalik sa atin na tanong ni Jesus, bakit di natin pinaniniwalaan si John the Baptist? At lalabas ang authority at ministry ni Jesus ay legit. Naggaling siya sa Diyos. Tapos sasabihin naman ng isa, eh, pero kapag hindi naman, pag sinabi naman natin na ang ministry at authority ni John the Baptist ay galing sa tao at gawa-gawa lang ng tao, malamang mawawala ng pabor sa atin ng tao. Hindi na tayo magugustuhan ng tao. Hindi na sila lalapit sa templo. Hindi na sila, hindi na aangat yung ating negosyo na ginagawa natin. Baka mapahamak pa ang buhay natin dito. So ano ang sinagot nila? So medyo naipit sila sa dalawang sila. Hindi pwedeng direct kasi tinanong nila si Jesus ng question na oo o hindi eh. Parang ganun eh. Authority ka o wala? Di, tinanong din sila ni Jesus na wala silang choice kundi oo at hindi rin ang kanilang isasagot. Pero hindi naman yung kanilang sinagot sa verse 33. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Hindi namin alam. Alam mo yan yung nagkita sila tapos lang yung sagot namin. Hindi namin alam. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you. It's interesting, ano? Hindi niya sinabi, neither do I know. Hindi, neither will I tell you. Yun yung language na ginamit. Alam niyang alam nila eh. Dahil sa ayon yung sabihin niya, hindi ko rin sasabihin kung kaninong otoridad ako galing. They resolved to answer Jesus by pretending to be ignorant. And so Jesus was not obligated to answer their question. The religious leader's answer should be Jesus' authority is from God. Alam nila eh. Alam nila yung nangyayari. Ayaw lang nila maniwala. All throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus have authority over all. Nung time na sinimula natin itong series na to, a year ago, it's very clear kung anong merong otoridad si Jesus at hindi ho galing sa tao. Jesus has authority in teaching, sabi sa chapter 1. He has authority over diseases. He has authority over demons, sumusunod sa kanya. Authority over death by raising someone to life. Authority to forgive sins. Authority over nature. Pinakalmang bagyo. At sa Matthew 28 verse 18, authority in heaven and in earth. He has authority na hindi galing sa tao. Otoridad galing sa Diyos. Malinaw po yun. Of course, yung nagkumpronta sa kanila, akala nila sila ang spiritual authority. Pero ang totoo niyan, ang Diyos mismo ang nagbigay ng otoridad kay Jesus. Ito ang problema. The religious leaders will always ask questions about Jesus' authority, Jesus' ministry, and Jesus' identity. The Pharisees, scribes, and the elders are the religious experts nung time nila. They have studied the Torah well. They know the laws and the prophets. They know the prophecies that were about to take place, yung mga binigay na prophecies, and when po ito mapufulfill, or at least may idea sila. So bakit namamali pa rin sila rito ng sagot? Is the question. Could it be that deep down sa kanilang mga puso, Alam nila na tama si Jesus. But they chose to harden their hearts dahil sa kanilang pride at dahil sa kanilang kasalanan. Could it be that they don't care about the truth? Basta ang mahalaga ay maprotektahan lang nila ang kanilang pangalan? Na pangangatawanan na nila ang mali kesa yung mapahiya sila sa maraming tao? O mas pinapahalagahan nila ang kanilang pera at popularidad? Kasi sabi sa verse 12, kung titignan natin, they feared the people. Dahil sa oras na, here's the situation, sa oras na lumuhod sila kay Jesus, ito na po ang wakas ng kanilang negosyo. Oras na lumuhod sila kay Jesus, mauubos ang kanilang followers. Oras na lumuhod sila kay Jesus, mag-iiba ang kanilang buhay. They will suffer. They rejected Christ's authority because they loved their lives so much that they are afraid of losing their lives for Jesus. Mga kaibigan, maring nandito ka ngayon at marahil gaya ng Sanhedrin, marami kang natatanong patungkol kay Jesus. Marami kang tanong patungkol sa kanyang pagka-Diyos. Ang kaligtasan na nagmumula sa kanya ay nagtatanong ka. Lahat ng ebidensya na ilatag na sa iyo, lahat ng mga churches na puntahan mo na, lahat ng Bible studies, napakinggan mo na yung turo, lahat ng libro na pwede mong buksan, binuksan mo na. Ngunit ayaw mo pa din maniwala. Ayaw mo pa rin tanggapin na siya ang natatanging Diyos na magliligtas sa iyo. Ang tanong, bakit? Could it be that deep down in your heart, you believe that He is the Messiah? Nauunawaan mo na talaga, but chose to harden your heart that He is the Messiah because of pride at saka kasalanan sa buhay mo? Kaya ayaw mo siyang tanggapin? O ayaw mo tanggapin ang katotohanan ito? Pinanganak ka sa isang relihiyon? So anong prinsipyo ng pamilya? Mamamatay ako sa relihiyon na to. Hindi ba pride po yun? O kaya naman, may katungkulan na ako sa reliyon namin, nagtuturo na ako sa gantong klaseng grupo, so mahirap naman iwanan doon, nandun yung pamilya ko, nandun yung kaibigan ko. So siguro, kahit alam ko naniniwala ko sa, pero dito na muna ako. Pero kaibigan, bakit? Naging mas matimbang na ba ang convenience? Ang sasabihin ng tao kaysa sa katotohanan ng salita ng Diyos. Pag ginagawa po natin yun, pinatitigas natin ang buhay. O baka naman ito ang dahilan. Tsaka na siguro ako mag-aano sa Panginoon kapag okay na ako. Kapag medyo sa tingin ko nag-improve na yung mga nagagawa kong mali sa buhay, o pag naisuko ko na itong kasalanan. Kapatid, kung wala kang Kristo, wala kang kasalanan na maisusuko. You will always gravitate towards sin. And that is the hot sad news. Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 to 26. Here's what Jesus said. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Maring napasaya mo, pamilya mo. Maring maraming natutuwa sa iyong giftings. Maring nai-enjoy mo ang katayuan mo ngayon o kalagayan mo, pero alam mong mali. However, ano ang tayo natin sa harapan ng Diyos? Friends, following Jesus will cost you and me. It might cost your pride kasi ina-acknowledge mo na kailangan mo ng tulong. Asking help sometimes is difficult, hindi po ba? But if you believe that Jesus is the way, I must humble myself before Him and ask for His help. And also help sa others. It might cost you your job. Baka may mali sa nangyayari sa loob ng trabaho mo at lagi kang pinapagod, baka kailangan mo na isuko. It might cost you relationships. It might cost you money. ah, malaki ang kickback ko dito, mahirap naman bitawan to. It might cause you some situations na kung saan maaaring yung buhay mo ay manganib if you choose to believe in this Jesus. A pastor once said that trusting Jesus will shut down things that are competing with Jesus in your hearts. That's really powerful. Trusting Jesus will shut down things that are competing with Jesus in your heart, in our hearts. What's competing with Jesus in your heart tonight? What's competing with Jesus that's pulling you away from Him? Sa mga Kristiyano nandito, ano ang kinakatakot mo ngayon? What do you fear right now? This is an important question because whoever or whatever we fear will control us. We'll be enslaved by it and we will end up serving those things. Yan po ang nakakatakot sa takot. Hindi po tayo nilikha ng Diyos para sa mga Diyos-Diyosan. Nilikha niya tayo para sa Kanya lamang. Fear the one who will judge one day of his, dahil sa kanyang authority. Fear God. Ang mga religious leaders' authority, they question Jesus' authority dahil sa kanilang ayaw bitawan. Hindi lamang nila kinwestiyon yung authority ni Jesus, kung hindi nireject din nila yung authority ni Jesus, which is yung number two and last. Authority rejected. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 to 12. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. Verse 2. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get some of the fruits of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Verse 4, again sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and he killed him. They killed him. And so many others, so maraming din po yun, maraming pang pinadala. Some they beat, some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to say them, saying, they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Last week, nakita po natin that Jesus gave an acted out parable, or yung tinatawag na parable in action. Ngayon naman, he gives another parable to explain ko ang gusto niyang itawid na mensahe. Now, kilala ito bilang na parable of the tenants. Gumamit ng parable si Jesus that all people during that time are very much aware of, or that's very relatable. I mean, tenants, properties, vineyards, owners, they're very familiar with that. They're also familiar with that kind of corruption that is happening within it. So it's interesting how bold Jesus used that para explain ang kanyang point. Kailangan po natin maunawaan ang parable na ito. Kailangan natin maunawaan mabuti. Kasi ang parable po ay may isang main point lang na tinutumpok. Hindi po siya tulad ng allegory. Ang allegory po na kung saan tinitingnan natin ang bawat detalye ng storya, yung whole, lahat ng details, tinitingnan at binibigyan ng kahulugan. Hindi po yon. Kaya kailangan po natin mag-ingat na hindi natin ma-stretch yung meaning ng parable na ito. By analyzing in detail, in small details, yung storya. We must look at it according sa meaning ni Jesus. Na? So, yun po yung ating attempt ngayong gabi. So, sa parable na ito, ay may five main characters na binanggit. Or five main things. May things kasi nandito. Na kailangan natin maunawaan para makita natin yung storya. Unang-una, banggitin ko po, landlord. Nabanggit po yan dyan, di ba? May isang lalaki, a man planted, that's the landlord sa chapter 12 verse 1. Siya ay may-ari ng vineyard sa storya na ito. Siya ang nagtanim, siya ang nag-cultivate, Nagtayo ng pader, naghukay ng butas, nagtayo ng tore para sa irrigation at saka protection ng mga tao magtatrabaho doon. So the landlord here represents si God or Yahweh or God the Father. God is the creator of all and of everything. Lahat ng mga nakikita natin, lahat na nakita sa mundo, all existed because of God. Sabi sa Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." Ano pong kinalaman na nito sa atin? Okay? Itong part na ito, ay malaki kinalaman na ito po sa atin. God, here's the point. God owns everything. He owns everything. He owns everything in this world, and in His goodness, He entrusted us with a lot of things for us to care for us to enjoy, to use it for the very purpose kung bakit binigay at nilikha ng Panginoon ito. Ang tawag po sa atin ay stewards. Stewards. Oh, what does steward mean? Steward in simple word means managers. We manage whatever the Lord has entrusted to us. You are a steward. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, believer or non-believer, you are a steward. O ang kilala sa term sa Tagalog, nakatiwala. Everything that you have are not really yours. It came from God. Everything that we possess and have and achieved came from God. Ang tunay ng nagmamayari ng lahat ng mga ito ay ang Diyos. I want that to sink in sa ating mga hearts ngayong gabi. What you have right now really came from God. Either through Him, through nature, through Him, through other means na ibinibigay sa'yo, this is God's providence providing for you. Ang Crossroads Church ay hindi ko pagmamayari or pagmamayari ng sinong pastor sa iglesyang ito. Hindi po. This is Jesus' church because He purchased this with His blood. That's why we need to live this church according sa kagustuhan ng Panginoon. So this po yung ito po yung sinasabi ng kuwaning landlord. At saka we go now to the vineyard, which is nasa verse 1 then. Ang vineyard po dito represents all of creation. Kasama po tayo doon. Pero specifically sa passage na ito, it talks about the nation of Israel. Sa Isaiah chapter 5, which is yung cross-reference niya, uses similar imageries dito, pero God rebukes His people dahil bilang vine, which is Israel, bilang vine, dapat nagpo-produce sila ng good fruits na pwede nilang makanin. Ang problema, ang nakikita ng Panginoon, yung napoproduce nilang fruits ay bulok at hindi makain. It's useless sa harapan ng Diyos. So, yun ang tingin ng Panginoon. Israel, why ang ganun tingin ng Panginoon? Because Israel was rebellious sa Panginoon. Hindi sila sumusunod sa Panginoon. God judged Israel. So, this is yung tinatawag na vineyard. Third, wicked tenants. Wicked tenants. May mga tenants dito na hindi tapat. Sila po ang mga magsasaka sa istorya na ito. Pinagkatiwala sa kanila yung lupain upang pangalagaan at taniman. They represent the religious leaders sa storya na to, and they should be faithful stewards and they should be carrying the vineyard well. Ang problema po sa mga tenants na ito ay hindi lamang latinrato yung vineyard na parang sa kanila, inangkinan na nila ito at ginawang sa kanila. So iba po yung lingway kapag sinabi natin, sige, turingin mo na yan na parang sa'yo. Tama yan, maganda yan. Hindi eh. Kinlaim na nila na akin to. Yun po yung dati. Akin to, alupain ko to eh. Kami nagtanim niyan, ikaw ba nagtatanim? Ikaw lang naman nagpatayo rin, kamin talaga to. So yun po yung itsura na ito. So we go to number 4 character. Servants. Silang inutusan para kumuha ng bahagi ng mga ani or mga fruits. Ngunit imbis na binigay ang bahagi ng ani sa mga servants, na ng servants ang may-ari, minaltrato po sila. Ang unang servant, binugbog nila. Ang second servant, they struck him in the head and treated him shamefully. Yung third, pinatay nila. At tatlong beses na paulit-ulit at marami pang pinadala. At pare-pareho ang sinapit ng mga servants na ito. The servants here represent the Old Testament prophets. na kung saan pinadadala ng Panginoon sa kanyang rebellious na tao na Israel to remind them. But ano ang ginawa ng mga Israelites ng Old Testament? They killed them. They tortured them. They beat them up. So this was a story na kung saan directly, a truth na kung saan nakapabalot po sa parable. And ang point dito, nauunawaan ng Pharisees. Nauunawaan ng nakakaalam ng Torah noong time na yon. Now, here's the problem. The wicked tenants were claiming na ang lupa ay sa kanila na kahit legally hindi naman. The landlord, in his goodness, has entrusted itong lupa na ito for their care, enjoyment, and to use it for the purposes ayon sa kalooban ng landlord mismo. Ang problema, kinalimutan nila ang may-ari. Inangkin nila ito at pinatakbo itong property na ito, itong negosyo na ito, ayon sa kagustuhan nila. So nagrebelde talaga sila. Itong attitude na ito ay nakikita sa tenants, ay ang attitude na nakikita rin sa mga religious leaders noong time ni Jesus. Itong mga priests who has been entrusted with the ministry of God's word and the people of Israel to lead them to walk in the truth of God, instead of giving God honor, they were filled with shame. Puro kahihiyan ang ginawa nila sa temple, sa responsibility na binigay sa mga anak ng Diyos. They did not steward well ayon sa purpose ng Panginoon, kundi they stewarded ayon sa kanilang kagustuhan. Mga kaibigan, ito po ang problema kapag sinimulan natin isipin na lahat ng mga bagay na pinagkatiwala sa atin ay atin. Diyan po nagsisimula ang problema. Kung hindi natin iisipin na lahat ng meron tayo ay pinagkatiwala sa atin, ang tingin natin, akin to. Sa akin ito. Okay? Diyan po nagsisimula ang problema. Itong lahat ng ito ay pinagkatiwala sa atin ng Diyos at dapat turingin na galing sa Diyos at sa Kanya lamang. Naalala ko nung binata pa ako, ako ay pinagkatiwalaan ng aking mga ate na alagaan ng aking mga pamangkin. So every time magdadala po ako ng pagkain, laruan, kailangan tag-iisa sila. Siyempre, alam mo, wisdom tells me, kailangan tag-iisa sila. Kasi kung isa lang binigyan mo, magkakasarasalan, aagawin, and from there, mag-aaway. So wisdom tells me, kailangan tag-iisa kayo. So ang problema, may tendency na kahit binigyan ko sila, ang gagawin ng isa, kukunin niya isa, mine. Tapos gagantiin sa akin, gagantiin isa, kukunin naman yung dalawa, mine! And then from there, mine, mine, mine. Ito doon, nag-aaway na sila. Tapos minsan naglalaro sila ng mine game. No, hindi ito yung Minecraft, ano, mine. Ah, kung ano mahawakan nila, mine. This chair is mine. Tito is mine. And lahat ng hawa, it looks ridiculous at funny, ano? Pero also, nakikita mo yung greediness ng namumuo sa puso ng mga bata, ano? Pero yun yung tinatawag, this is mine! Friends, is this how we treat the things that God entrusted us? Mine! My money! My car! My house! My spouse! My health! My singleness! I will live whatever I choose to live. This is my gadgets, my cell phone, mine everything, my life. I will live it the way I want it to. I don't care kung ano sasabihin ng ibang tao. I don't care what God's word says. Kasi this is my life. I don't care kung ano sasabihin ng magulang ko. I don't care kung ano sasabihin ng ibang tao, ng otoridad, ng boss ko. This is my life. Mine. Friends, God is the one who built, sustains, and He entrusted us to be stewards sa kung saan meron tayo, His vineyard. Sa harapan ng Panginoon, pag ganun ang ugali natin, it looks ridiculous sa harapan ng Diyos. And kitang-kita ng Diyos ang namumuong greed sa ating puso. Ito ang katotohanan sa atin. We want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. And we have been bad stewards sa buhay na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon. And like the wicked tenants, we deserve judgment. And like the wicked tenants, we deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment. Sobra naman, Pastor, eternal punishment. Yes, because we have offended an eternal God. Alam po ninyo na itong storya na ito ay ako'y namamangha sa parable na ito. I'm really amazed, no? Alam niyo kung saan po ako na-amaze? Hindi sa katigasan ng ulo ng mga servants, eh. Sa patience ng Panginoon. Hindi niyo ba napansin yung paulit-ulit siya nagpapadala kahit alam naman niya mamamatay na ito? Because He, God, is patient to them. Friends, the only reason why you are here tonight at hindi tayo namatay kahapon or we drop dead ngayon sa kinauupuan natin o kinatatayuan ko, it's because God is patient. You are here right now and you probably have a rebellious heart right now. Rebelde ka sa Panginoon, rebelde ka sa magulang mo, rebelde ka sa mga taong kausap, lahat ng mga namumutawi sa labi mo, puro ka rebeldean. Pero buhay ka, pero nagpo-provide. God is patient with you. God is patient with you. He is sending many messengers to you. He sent you here tonight to hear this message sa kinauupuan mo. And He's been talking to you for the past week. And you ask yourself, anong ginagawa ko rito? Why? I'll tell you why. Because He is patient with you. In the story, the landlord sends his son to these wicked tenants in hopes that they would repent and listen sa kanyang anak. In the same way, God also has sent His Son, Jesus, to save the wicked people like you and me from self-righteousness and rebellion and not recognizing His authority like us, because He is patient with us. He sends the kindness of God, si Jesus sa atin. Jesus in verse 11 to 12 quotes Psalms 118, which is yung binasa sa atin at ginamit na scripture prayer ni Pastor Jack kanina. Itong psalm na ito is a celebration psalm. It's a praise psalm when the people of God is singing, papunta ko sa temple. It was mentioned dito yung word na cornerstone. Ano itong corners? Ang cornerstone is the most important stone of the building. Without it, everything falls apart. Magko-collapse kung wala yung cornerstone na ito. Ang builders na nabanggit dito refers to the religious leaders, sila mismo. They rejected Jesus Christ. That's why sinabi dyan, they rejected the cornerstone. Ang nakakamangha po dito, His death, Jesus' death, sa confrontation na ito, Jesus in a way, in a parabolic way, was prophesying kung anong gagawin nila within 2 days. Yun ang ginagawa ni Jesus dito. He was telling them, within 2 days, papatayin niyo ako. Because remember, the Pharisees understand yung mismong parable. So He was giving a prophecy literally sa kanila. He is literally saying, in a few days you will kill me because you have rejected me, the cornerstone. And that's why your life will fall apart. And they did. Jesus was beaten after 2 days, struck down. His head was crowned with thorns, killed Him by hanging Him on a cross. For our sins, for our rebellion. This was ultimately God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit's plan. Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He has put Him to grief. Plano ng Panginoon ito. Jesus died for us so that we can be reconciled to God the Father. He died, was buried, and the third day has risen from the grave. Hindi po natatapos ang istorya ng good news ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang pagkamatay at paglibing. Siya'y nabuhay, kapatid. And because nabuhay si Kristo, may pag-asa tayo. May pag-asa tayo, mga rebelde. May pag-asa ko tayo, mga rebelding anak, mga rebelding mga mamamayan, mga rebelding tao sa harapan ng Diyos. Why? Kasi nabuhay si Jesus. Friends, don't make the mistakes of the religious leaders. Don't make Jesus be the rejected stone. Repent from your sins. Repent from this rebellion. Repent from this ikaw ang authority ng buhay mo. And turn to Jesus Christ at yung ginawa niya sa cross for the forgiveness of sins. Mga kaibigan, anong ginagawa mong cornerstone ng buhay mo ngayon? Anong cornerstone ng buhay mo ngayon? Yung karir mo ba? Is it yung mga success na ina-attain mo? Or na-attain mo? Ang ating relationships ba? Ang mga abilidad ba natin? Is it your youth? That's your cornerstone? Your beauty? Your money? Yung mga likes at saka followers mo in social media? Yung bang yung cornerstone? Is it praises of men? That's why you fear men so much? You're so concerned on how you look? So concerned on how you dress up? So concerned on how you talk? Because you fear men? Because you always wanted to be liked? Is that your cornerstone? Because if that is your cornerstone, then if that is taken away, you will collapse. Everything will fall down sa buhay mo. And you will be miserable. And you will be depressed. Kung yun po ang case, magko-collapse talaga. Kasi these things are not designed to hold it. It cannot take the weight. Only Jesus can. Friends, let Jesus be our cornerstone, our foundation, our hope, our rest, our satisfaction, our peace. Let Jesus be marvelous in our eyes. Maging kamangha-mangha siya sa atin kahit sa kalagitnaan ng kadiliman na ito. Ang nakakalungkot lang po dito sa istorya na to, yung pagwakas niya. Yung pagwakas ng engkwentrong ito, the religious leaders rejected Jesus. Nung sinabi ni Jesus after niya bigay ng kwento, bigla na sila umalis. Wala silang nasabi. They left Jesus. Friends, let us not be like them. As Christians, God's word is yung authority sa ating buhay dapat. God's word is our authority in life and in ministry. Bilang Kristiyano, you're not the authority of your life anymore. It's Jesus. Young people, the authority that the Lord has given for you to obey and follow is yung parents nyo. If we say we disobey God's word, let's just put it this way. If we disobey God's word, it means it's rebellion against God's word. So young people, if we disobey our parents, the very sole authority ng life nyo na binigay ng Panginoon that God gave to you to guide you, to nurture you, to feed you, to care for you, to shepherd you, to bring you to Jesus, if we rebel, then you're rebelling against God's word. Wives, the very person that God gave to you to lead you, to guide you, to shepherd you is your husband. If we do not submit, if we do not speak the truth in love, if we do not follow yung lead nila, especially kung ang pag-lead naman nila is godly, then we are rebelling against God's word. Crossroads Church of Dubai, God has given us each other to love, to care, to nurture, to gather together. Hebrews 10:25, to love one another. If we neglect that, if we have zero desire for that, then we are rebelling against God's word. Repent. Repent. The list goes on. Sa trabaho, rebelde ka ba? The Bible says in Galatians, kailangan authorities, yung boss mo, work hard. As if working for the Lord. If we don't work hard as if working for the Lord, ano mangyari? We rebel against God's word. So government, same thing. If you want to know more about submitting to government, then please come this Sunday. We will talk about the authority of the government in God's word. To end us tonight, let me remind us that man's rejection of Jesus' authority and authenticity is not a result of lack of hard evidences, but of hard hearts. Huwag tayo maging pareho ng religious leaders na may hard hearts. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful sa mga naligtas po ninyo through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hearts of stone were turned to a heart of flesh. From a heart of darkness now to a heart of light. Now, Lord, we are living our lives not our own ngayon, kung hindi para sa inyo. You are the sole authority ng aming buhay. And we're doing this, Lord. We're submitting, not because of fear or terrified kami, but because of love, because of gratitude, because of joy that we want to obey these things, because of the things that you have done to us, especially on the cross. Would you help us to be good stewards of whatever you have entrusted us? Our family, our material things, our jobs, dito sa Dubai. Steward our health well. Lord, would you help us be people who would be using these things and these relationships to give you honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.